Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 as a popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, but Doug loves movies.
Hey, everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies. That's what happens. Some people just go, woo, and it covers up the people doing the thing that happens every show except in L.A. This is Doug Loves Movies, and we are recording on Tuesday night, January 16th, 2024, at the Improv Lab at the world-famous Melrose Improv in West Hollywood, California! Yeah! Hot crowd tonight here, and someone in this audience, some lucky individual, is going to win this. I put it on the table to show it off while you were being seated this evening. Some of you have probably been looking at that thing like, wow, I wonder if that's a prize or something, or did somebody come to a show here earlier and leave it? No, I brought it, and this is a Roku Ultra HD 4K HDR LMNOP. This thing has fucking got it all. If you're a person that wants a Roku and doesn't have a Roku, it's perfect for your needs. And like I said, it's ultra for some reason. It's got like a remote control that does what it wants, which is an interesting feature. Like it'll just change the channel when it's tired of what you're watching. So anyway, that is going to be won by somebody tonight. And in addition to that, I'll get your name, put you on the guest list. Two free tickets to see the next Benson movie, Interruption, at... Yeah, it's a good prize. I'm happy you like that more than the Roku Ultra. Like, fuck that Roku Ultra, but two tickets to go to Dynasty Typewriter on February 6th, Tuesday night. I bet it's probably, you know, 2 or 3 weeks from now. So everyone's tonight's going to get those as well. But before I bring my guests out here, it's time for Doug Plugs. Chelsea's so excited for Doug Plugs. Friday night, January 26th, I'm doing stand-up at the Earl in Atlanta, Georgia. And then Saturday afternoon, January 27th, I'll be the legendary 40 Watt Club in Athens, Georgia. You know, 4:20 in the afternoon show at a cool rock club. And then I'll be at The Well in Bakersfield, California. It's a fairly new comedy club there. on Saturday night, February 24th. But for all my dates and deets and links, go to DougLovesMovies.com. That's DougLovesMovies.com. Yeah, caca. Some other stuff. See, I don't even know it. The whole audience knows it all the time, so I don't have to know it. I was able to forget it. I was able to let it go because the audience usually does it for me. Ted Danson, shh. Wallet! Oh, I forgot wallet. How could I forget wallet? Wallet is so good. Okay, anyway, are you ready to meet the guests tonight? Oh my goodness. My guests are terrific. Please give it up, everybody, for Natalie Cuomo, Dan Lamort, and Greg Perups. Wow. Just look at them, will you?
Yay.
Yay.
Just flew in a day or two ago. Some of you, one of you.
Hey, Doug.
Lives in L.A. Hey. Let's meet them individually and alphabetically by first name. Yeah, the twists start this early in the game. He's visiting us from New York City. Very funny comedian Dan Lamort.
Yeah.
Happy New Year, Dan.
Happy New Year. I didn't done the math quick enough alphabetically that I was going to be first.
Right?
Yeah.
I know. I really keep everybody on their toes.
I really keep you off guard.
It's another thing we do here is we don't give you anything to put your drink on.
Yeah, I'm in that
way. Yeah,
everybody
I noticed that.
Has to just constantly be reaching down all the way to the floor
water bottle
to
purgatory.
Get their water bottle. But I'm excited that we have three
it's like working in Ireland in the
guests.
90s.
Potato. Okay, so who am I on next? Oh, wait, I still have to talk to Dan for a second.
Oh, okay.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
How's it going?
It's an exciting start.
Yeah, you having a good time so far?
I am. It's my first time in L.A. in 6 years.
Jan 16. So you haven't been here since...
The last time I was here was getting Doug with I, and I was a little fat boy.
You got high with me. You were a much heavier man.
Yeah, it was
and
fun
then,
times.
And then you left my side, and you got away from me. And but also,
it was hard. The handcuffs
also
were hard
lost
to get
the
off.
Weight, but remaining a stoner, which that deserves the most applause.
Thank you, yes.
Because that's tough.
You have to maintain your integrity like that.
Yeah, but you did it, and congratulations, and thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
You know, we're friends, and we talk, but, like, I feel like you know movies. Do you feel like you're a movie trivia guy?
Not at all, but I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, there you go. That's all we count. That's all we
I like
care
movies.
About. You either have to know movies, or, you know, liking them's good, too, but know them, or just have fun. You know, as long as you're doing one of those things, then it's the game show runs smoothly. Also joining us, thanks, Dan, is, now I got to work out the alphabet. I didn't think of it through very well. But like I said, he lives here. Give it up, everybody, for Greg Proops.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you for having me in a place where there's nowhere to put your drink. I'd just like to point out this chair.
Oh, yeah, the wobbly chair. It's all set up so you never get comfortable.
This is some rickety-ass shit, ladies and gentlemen. It's nice to be here on Hee Haw.
It's like everything here wobbles. It's like, did you feel that? It's like a little tremble going on.
Little earthquake.
Yeah, a little earthquake. Oh, shit. Seriously, do you feel it?
Yeah, no, right? Did you feel that?
Have you experienced a new earthquake since you got here, Dan?
No, but I am excited.
Did you experience any
tonight?
When you lived here?
What?
Back to 6 years
I've
ago?
I've never been in an earthquake.
Okay, good for you. Congratulations. It's Greg making... was in Candlestick Park during one.
I was on my way to Candlestick Park.
You were watching the game? Oh, you're on your way to it? Really?
Yeah, and I was driving a 1975 Buick Deuce and a Quarter, which was 24 feet long and 8 feet wide, and it started to bounce up and down. I was with my friend Reed. We were going to get beer to go watch the game, and it started bouncing wildly, and the car in front of us started bouncing wildly, and the telephone line started swinging. This is the Loma Prieta quake. You guys are like, it wasn't the 1906 quake, okay? You fucking cocks. I'm not that old. And I said to my friend, can you believe this car has four flat tires? I swear to you. I was in denial. And he went, like I was a mental patient, why don't you pull over, Greg? So he pulled over and the car bounced for, it was a 58 second quake. It was long. If you've ever been in one, and one day you will, the short ones are like, what? But the long ones are like, oh no. Because a minute is plenty of time.
Yeah, like, why isn't this stopping?
Right? And then we
like
went to...
It's like a car alarm. Like, yeah. You go, oh, maybe a car really is being stolen.
This is why I love San Francisco, though. The people that were at the park, you could see... Will Durst was outside, and he said you saw the car park go like this, right? Just a rolling wave in all the cars. And every single car alarm, this is the late 80s, every single car alarm went off. And then inside the place shook for a minute. And when it stopped, because of San Francisco, everybody went, yay, play ball. And of course, all the players are, as you know, baseball players, by and large, not all of them, tend to be, you know, Trump voting hillbilly, you know, cousin fuckers. And so they were all on the field like, oh God, you know, the world came to an end. It was the epiphany or whatever. And then, of course, it wasn't. But they postponed the game for 2 weeks, and then the Giants lost anyway. So, but there's a happy ending, not to that story, but to other stories.
And yeah, there's a lot of them. That's out why there. We're it's here. True. That's a good point. We do love a movie with a happy ending. Also joining us, Happy New Year! Happy New Year, Greg.
Happy New Year, Doug, and Merry Christmas as well.
No,
we didn't
war on Christmas.
Next year, we're going to meet under the mistletoe. Where we don't kiss, but we do a power hitter to each other. It's so sweet.
Oh, I like that. That is a nice twist on an old favorite.
Yeah.
Speaking of favorites, another...
Speaking of segues.
another comedian I enjoy very much from New York City. Woo! It's Natalie Cuomo!
Natalie.
Hey, Doug.
Hi. That was a pretty pumped up intro for your laid back demeanor.
Hey, Doug.
Oh, wow. Yeah, just really bringing it. Oh, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I'm so happy to be here.
That's so nice that you were all very pleasant return of Happy New Year, because I'm trying to push it this year. I'm going to see how long I could say it to people before they start to be like, dude, it's March or whatever.
I already kind of feel like when I walk away from conversations and I say Happy New Year, people are giving me a weird face.
They're already like, yeah, take down the tree already.
Well, the tree should be down for sure.
Yeah. No, everything's more and more delayed, you know, like, it's weird. Like, the Emmys were on last night, and I swear to God, they were giving Emmys to shows that ended a year and a half ago. You know, like Better Call Saul. That was on 2 years ago, right, that it ended? And anyway... is that chair too wobbly for you, Greg?
Oh no, it's fantastic. I feel like I'm in a Japanese horror movie from the 50s, and that Tokyo is about to go down, and that Rodan is on my dick, eminently. I would love another one if there is any other.
Is there any other
chairs in
you
there?
Want to switch?
There's gotta be like,
see if this one's better.
There's a bunch of them at the bar. If we can get
this one.
Oh, look at this.
Seriously.
Oh, Gus flying in with the
appreciate
new chair.
It, thank you so much.
See, that's the professionalism of the improv. They'll give you a shitty chair to start with, but when you need a better one, they're there for you.
Wait, you have to earn your chair.
Greg, what would you do if this chair had a wobble as well?
Oh, I don't think it does. I think it's a... But thank you for asking, because I'm an improviser. Yes, and... I would continue whining in an extraordinarily humorous way. It's much better. And thank you. That'll be all. You know... I demand solid furniture when I perform, and I think that's been a hallmark of my career over the last.
It really, you're kind of known for
decades.
That.
Yeah,
that's probably why you're mostly just standing there.
Well,
like,
I started
never bring you the right furniture.
Yeah, I started during the Louis Kahn's, and of course we had that furniture then, and then there was the Chippendale period, and you know, then we did Bauhaus and minimalist, super uncomfortable, but not wobbly, and then now here we are with the 1985. Coke dealer stools that the improv has managed to whip in here. This stool makes me want to watch Turner and Hooch. That's the year it's from.
Oh, I get it now. I just thought you were like just relying on the word hooch being so funny, because it is. It always will be. Thank you to all three of you for being here and letting me say Happy New Year. And drinking your waters from off the floor. And before we play some games tonight, because we are going to play some games, and somebody is going to walk out of here with this beautiful Roku Ultra.
So regular Roku doesn't cut it.
Regular, if you have regular Roku, just fucking throw it out.
Right?
Like, get rid of it now.
Yeah.
And then just save up for Ultra Roku, because the things it does for you, it's insane.
Because I have a razor, you know, a shaving razor. And
yeah.
I believe on the package it says it's an Ultra.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering if, like, that was something that was designated by the Federal Department of Administration.
Somebody... I think it's a word you could use about anything and no one can pin you down on it. Like, we'll prove it's ultra.
Okay.
Because well, what does ultra even mean?
He's an ultra runner.
I am an ultra runner.
That's the official term for your kind of running?
That is the official term.
What does ultra running mean?
Any distance that's longer than a marathon.
So 20.
Ultra.
It's
a marathon plus.
26 miles and three quarters or whatever.
It starts at 31 and a half, technically, 50K.
But a marathon, isn't it 26 miles and some change?
But then it would be...
It'd be weird to do them.
Yeah.
So it's ultra running. They couldn't just call it like long distance.
Long distance. Extra long distance.
More
it's
running.
Ultra.
It's actually, right?
Running plus.
I'm going to pitch Roku running instead.
Right?
Yeah.
I like it.
You run more than 30 miles at one time?
Yes.
Well, no wonder you haven't gained any weight.
Well, that's why I still want to eat the way that I did, and I found the loophole, just run.
Just run like a mad person. That's fantastic.
Yeah. So you really do still eat like you did?
He does.
Oh, yeah.
You
the
just
amount
run
of
it
things
off.
In my stomach right now is pretty nuts.
So how much do you run? How much do you run a day then? 30 miles a day?
He runs 10 miles a day.
10 miles a day, depending on what type of mood I'm in.
So how long did it take you to get here from New York?
You know, I started a few weeks ago.
Great job, Forrest.
I got him tattooed on my arm. Hey, maybe I do like movies.
Hey,
I got a movie on my arm. I didn't even realize.
That's more commitment than any of my other guests have.
Yeah.
To motion pictures. Yeah, none of your tats are movies, are they, Natalie?
No movies. I got some video games.
Oh, close enough.
Yeah.
And, you know, occasionally they do make a video game into a movie.
I would love an Animal Crossing movie. That would be really cool.
Like it would be just animated animals trying to get across the thing?
That but, nothing but.
No, it would be animated figurines fake farming.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
You got one fan on that one.
Yeah,
thank you.
Somebody's in. So.
Thank you.
That's how an idea starts.
I see you. They have a, like, T-Pain has a song, like a song music video. So we're halfway there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
T-Pain.
Yeah.
Living on a Prayer? You said you were halfway there.
That's Bon Jovi.
As
the
comic
JBJ.
From San Francisco, the late, great Dexter Madison used to say, Bon Jovi, of course, in French means good Jovi.
All right. Before we play the games today, I want to ask each of you to name for me your favorite film from last year. So if you didn't see a lot of films, obviously just pick one from the ones you did see. And we'll start with Dan. What's your number one?
I was a big fan of David Fincher's The Killer.
Yeah?
Yeah, a lot of
you
people
you watch
did
it
not
in
like
the cinema or on the Netflix?
On my couch.
On the couch.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I liked the little scene where he's doing yoga. I don't know. It was just, it was boring enough. I like when people say they can't imagine watching paint dry, I can. I like those kind of things, and that movie felt like that for me. It was nice and slow, not a big payoff.
Wow, I could recommend a lot of movies to you.
Please.
Because that's the kind I don't like, is slow and no payoff. That's my least favorite, so they tend to stick in my brain when that
happens.
I felt
like it was just artsy enough to keep me intrigued.
So you're a fan of the whole Sofia Coppola oeuvre, I imagine.
I just like seeing like how a guy like that, how his life fell apart kind of just because of one wrong shot.
Yeah, well, the crazy thing about The Killer is, I don't know about anybody, who's seen The Killer? Applaud if you've seen it. Yeah, that's what that was the vibe I was feeling in the room.
Yeah.
Was that none of us have seen it.
No.
But
I barely watch any
movies. But David Fincher.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously.
And the Obama movie, Where the World Ends. That was a good one.
Leave the World Behind.
Oh, why do you call that an Obama movie?
He produced it.
Oh, okay. I thought you just had really weird politics.
No, he was.
And that end of the world story is like, oh, that Obama movie. Where the world comes to an end.
It's bothersome that, like, you know, the former president produced the movie about the end of the world.
Right? Why?
Because you can get all conspiracy theorists if you're, like, stoned watching the movie. You get freaked out, and then you see, like, executive produced by the Obamas, and you're like...
That'd be funny if it said the Obama administration instead of...
That's the name of their studio.
Just his name. But, yeah, well, you know, he's probably...
He's bored. He's doing some projects.
Exactly. And he's probably getting stoned off his ass while he does it.
It's one of many.
Getting stoned, golfing. He makes a best movies list every year. And this year, the movies he produced made the list. So things are going good.
And this one was based off a book that was on his favorite books list.
So we're skipping over to you, Natalie. Is that your number one movie?
No, I hated that movie. I actually hated it.
Okay, now I'm glad to hear that, because when Dan said that that was his number two after The Killer, I was really losing faith in Dan's taste.
No, no.
You should lose faith.
That movie is so fucking dumb.
I hated it. It kept me up all night. I mean, it was just gruesome. It bothered me.
It was gruesome?
Yes, I don't need to see everyone dying. It's uncomfortable. I see. Like, why do I have enough anxiety during the day? I don't need to watch my anxieties play out at night.
Are we talking about the same movie? Like, Julia Roberts lives through the whole fucking thing.
What do you mean? But
spoilers.
The plane crashes. Like, I don't want to watch that.
Oh, we didn't know anyone on the plane.
Is this how you comforted her when you were watching
it? No, we're not allowed to watch anything that gives her nightmares, which is everything. You know, she wants movies of animals crossing roads. So there's not much I could work with here, Doug.
Listen.
Those animals could get hurt.
Yeah, one of them gets hit by a plane.
Yeah, exactly.
I could work with that.
You really didn't find that movie to be anxiety inducing at all.
Well, yeah, because I was like, let's go. Where is this going? What's the point of this? And then it would just go off in these weird different directions. I found that movie very frustrating to watch.
I mean, listen,
I like your take on it.
I didn't think it was good, but I did think, wow, this is making me anxious.
Yeah.
This is really making it.
You should watch the first half of Tom Cruise's War of the Worlds.
No.
That's a good
that
one.
Really, but that, like, the movie, the air goes out of it by the end of it. But, like, the tension in the first hour or so of that movie's pretty damn good.
Is Mark Wahlberg in that movie?
Which one?
War of the Worlds?
No, that's Tom Cruise.
Wow, that's where I'm at. I'm thinking Mark Wahlberg's in it, which I think would be a better movie.
No, Mark Wahlberg's in the one where the wind blows a lot. And then people walk backwards, and then somehow it's scary. We did that as one of your movie interruptions.
Yeah, he's a science teacher.
That's right.
He's the one that figures out.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
It's
if you walk slowly backwards, you could die.
Yeah.
That one's not very good.
Was the Michael Jackson documentary.
Right.
Exactly. Okay, now.
That was Killers of the Flower Moonwalk.
Killers of the Flower Moonwalking.
You heard me.
Moonwalking, you guys.
That was quick.
That was fast.
Just relax, you guys. Relax.
That was really...
Okay? Ease into it.
All right. So let's move on to Greg. We'll get to you in a second, Natalie. Greg, favorite movie of last year?
I didn't see that many movies. I saw Barbie. It was all right. I liked that. I didn't see Oppenheimer yet because... I didn't want to, and then there was a bunch of movies I was going to. What was that one? Don't Worry, Darling.
Yeah,
I was going to see that, and then I remembered, like, I'm older now, and I don't have that much time left.
Yeah,
and I didn't have time for that movie in my life.
I think that one was even from the previous year.
Oh, no wonder.
Yeah,
I liked on television Zone Blanche and Lupin, two awesome French. Shows that would maybe be a little scary. Zone Blanche might be scary for you.
Thank
but
you.
Lupin is a Diamond Thief one, and that one's really good. Have you seen that with Omar Sy?
No, I don't know any of the words
he's
you're
a
using.
Diamond Thief in modern Paris, and yeah, it's really good.
But that's a TV program?
It's a TV program, but I watched it as if it was a movie. I got high, and I sat in a very cushy chair. Oh, I saw Indiana Jones and the errant dial that didn't work properly, and... That one really, there was no, I was waiting for a shipment of Donkey Donks to arrive that was big enough to accommodate the movie, but it never did. Because that movie really, really chewed the biggie. At one point, he's young, and they've made Harrison Ford
young.
Yeah,
I hate that.
And then Phoebe Waller-Fafa was in it, and it just didn't, nothing happened in that movie. It was as if, like the third Star Wars movie, the fourth one, it was as if they hadn't watched the other Indiana Jones
movies. It
did
seem a little out of touch with the series. Like, they knew how to touch on the nostalgia of those movies, but, like, it was its own weird thing.
Here, I'll just say one little thing. At the end, Karen Allen comes back because she was, you know, in the first Indiana Jones movie. And all I could think of was, hey, you could have had her for the whole movie. And that would have been the plot. Instead of we're looking for a sundial that Aristotle lost or something, I was completely flummoxed by the significance of the artifact.
Yeah.
I mean, the Holy Grail, or what was the first one? Was it the Holy Grail?
That's what they're searching for, whatever is the Grail, but it's the Lost Ark.
You know,
and
there's Nazis and they melted and whatever.
Yeah, that
was fun, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, as it's been pointed out on this show in the past, the first Raiders of the Lost Ark, he's such an amazing archaeologist and teacher, and he really knows what he's doing. And he just tells Marion to close her eyes when they open the Ark. And it works.
Yeah.
Everyone melts, and they're just like, just stand there with their eyes closed.
Yeah.
Okay, we're good? Okay. It's a very very strange solution to the problem. But then again, in part four, he ends up in a refrigerator during an atomic bomb explosion. So who knows what George Lucas has got a lot of crazy ideas.
Oh, I know what I like. The Woman King with Viola Davis.
There you go. That's also from the previous year. But
I thought it was from last year.
I think it was the previous year. But
what about the banshees that yelled at each other in Ireland for two fucking hours?
Same.
Wow. With the finger throwing.
Oh, God. Oh. White people.
Natalie, you must have hated not only the fingers, but also dog eating the fingers and then dies from eating fingers.
Oh, that was heartbreaking when the dog ate the finger.
Yeah. Brutal.
You guys know what I'm talking about.
Chelsea, you haven't seen the Banshees of Inisherin? I say don't. If your reaction to that was
that. You guys must know what we're talking about.
That movie just proved that white people will watch other white people do fucking anything.
The dog ate the finger.
For 2 hours and then go, oh my God, the acting was so powerful and white. Like, Jesus Christ with Ireland.
All right, so what's your...
I ate some Lucky Charms to purge myself of that movie. Because they're the frosted oat cereal.
I did an Irish tap dance.
The which one?
What does that mean? Like leaving the party early?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But with a loud noise. You say goodbye to no
one. You dance your way out?
Yes.
I was just guessing. I had no
idea.
Was
Barbie from this year?
Barbie was, yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, I saw that.
Okay. So we're marking you down for your favorite movie was the one that you just happened to see.
Yeah.
I love it. It was good though.
I love the feminist message. I thought it was important, you know, whatever. I thought the movie turned into Ken about halfway through, and then there was about 45 minutes of Ken the movie. And it was
Ken heavy for such a feminist movie.
Hello, yeah. The middle of the movie was all about him, and I was like, if you're just an appendage with no appendage, then really hit the sidelines, bro hom. That was my only objection.
He had big dickless energy.
Totally. He had such smooth spot energy. Yeah, I thought there was way too much of him in the middle of it. I love the beginning and whatnot, and I love the speech and all that and whatever. But and then the ending, you know, but you know. It's a Hollywood movie. What are you going to do? Like, at no point is Hollywood ever going to commit to anything resembling fucking feminism or equality or anything like that. That they're always going to make a movie that kind of, hey, right? You know.
Yeah.
If you want that, you have to go see Real People or a documentary or something. You know, you can't watch Barbie and then go, I thought they missed the polemic boat.
I swear Barbie and Oppenheimer both really, really benefited from just the weirdness of them opening the same weekend and the media deciding that that was like, you know.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Craziest
thing they've ever heard of.
And the man who invented the nuclear bomb and a doll. It's crazy.
You know, I really enjoyed Kate McKinnon in that.
Yeah,
Barbie.
Weird Barbie is a great concept. I would have liked more of that, but she's very funny. Yes,
yeah. I wish they gave her more. That I would have watched a whole movie of her.
You may just get to.
Didn't you think it got Ken heavy in the middle?
It did get Ken heavy, and I also felt like I didn't appreciate how they had a scene of Margot Robbie crying, being like, "I'm ugly." I was like, "All right, you're pushing it a little bit."
Uh huh.
That was a little too much.
I watched the whole movie over her shoulder on the plane. I didn't hear any of Barbie, but I did see the entire thing.
Can I ask you something? Were you frightened later, and did you have a nightmare?
No, I liked all the colors. Oh, okay. I'm a big colors guy.
I spent
at the coffee shop called it quirky.
You're a quirky shirt?
She said that. You know what I would say? Quirky choice.
This is fun and different.
I told her it was a good shirt to walk around in, which made it worse. It was the weirdest thing I could have said.
To walk around in?
Yeah, I don't know what I meant by
it. Do you mean walking or ultra walking? That's what I want to know.
Just, you know, your regular normie walking.
Normie walking, okay.
Dan's actual favorite movie of the year was Chicken Ultra Run.
What was that?
It came out this year as a cartoon.
Oh, I got it.
I do watch a lot of documentaries of people just running, so my taste is very boring. What will white people watch? Other white people running. That's
Jeepers, creepers, you guys.
Okay, finally, Natalie, it's your turn to name your favorite
film. I thought
film.
She did.
No, we talked about some stuff with her, but
okay.
Didn't get a final answer.
Well, the three movies that came out this year that I saw were The Killer.
Are we supposed to guess which one's your favorite after you tell us all three?
Sure. Okay. I saw The Killer.
Okay, you didn't like that.
The End of the World one.
You didn't like that.
And Barbie.
Barbie.
So, yeah.
So we got two Barbies.
But I will say this. I did not see the last 18 minutes of Barbie. The plane did land.
You don't even know how it ends?
I looked up the Billie Eilish song, and I enjoyed it.
It's such a... That song's so funny to me that it's from Barbie, and it's like the most... Like sad, slow-ass song.
I spent
song.
The whole movie just being like, damn, Margot Robbie is so pretty. And America Ferrera is really cool. And I think that was my takeaway.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't need no stinking ending.
I felt frustrated.
You didn't need to see the scene.
We saw the mink get thrown.
Yeah.
That's what
I
saw.
Ryan Gosling throwing his fur coat. Yeah.
And then the atomic bomb goes off and all of the dolls melt.
Yeah.
And then Obama comes out.
It's frustrating to think that they're trying to like encapsulate this full message in this movie. I don't know if they fully got that, but it was a cute attempt.
It was I felt like it was trying to do a lot of things and didn't do it all successfully, but did enough of it well that it certainly a lot of people loved it, and it was a movie for them. As a white old straight person, man.
I enjoyed
it. Really wasn't. None of it was for me, and I still liked it. So
I liked it.
Yeah, exactly.
I definitely.
All right.
Yeah.
We got two Barbies and a killer. This is really good. This is really good for.
How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel nobody's gonna walk away from this listening to this episode with a new movie recommendation to check out, because we all saw Barbie and the killer. People seem to have little interest in.
The killer.
Great
was
soundtrack.
Like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all the Smiths.
Oh, it is only the Smith songs is the soundtrack.
The entire time? I'm back in.
It's great
music. I love when a director, even if it doesn't work, I still love the commitment.
That was fun. It was all the Smiths.
Picking one artist to have their music throughout the whole movie, like Garfunkel, Simon and Garfunkel. I almost called him Garfunkel and Oates.
I know. I almost going to say. Simon, it wasn't Garfunkel and Oates, Doug.
And they could do it. They could write all the songs for a movie.
It felt very much like a video game. You're watching like a video game. POV throughout the movie.
Yeah.
And all the lyrics really matched up with the scenes, which was cool because they were Smith songs, but
all right. I am going to check it out for sure.
Dan's dad didn't like it.
Okay, now I'm out. Just keep going back and forth on this. All right, we're going to play some games after this break. We'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth.
It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
We are back. And let me recap what happened during the break. Dan is going to play for Blockbuster Brian. And Greg is going to play for Yvonne with an E and on both ends. And Natalie is playing for Korea Costco. Her real name isn't, her real last name isn't Costco. That's just, I call her that because she's got a Costco card. And I am impressed. All right.
Wait, we play for them or they play for us?
Oh, because, wait.
I thought
how can
he was
they play
like
for you? They're sitting
friend,
in the audience.
Like, because I don't know movies, so I'm going to Brian.
Oh,
to
well,
me.
Wait till you hear how the last game works,
oh,
and then
God.
You can use a lifeline if
yes.
you need it.
Okay.
And it's your new friend who you're playing on behalf of.
BB.
Yeah, but don't get ahead of me. We're only on the first game, and it's a game that I like to call The Price is Wrong, Bitch. I got to remember to raise my hands as I'm saying it because there was a real delay on that. Here's how it works. We are going to play a pricing game like they do, like my friends do on The Price is Right, and let's make a deal. And, I want the three of you to each guess. We'll start with Dan, then we'll go to Greg, then we'll go to Natalie, but anybody could change their answer at any point. But I want you each to bid, tell me, without going over, whoever's the closest without going over wins, the price of Roku Ultra.
Oh.
Yeah, right? I know you probably haven't been pricing Roku Ultras, so it's a tricky thing to have to guess. But Dan, start us off.
$85.
You think this retails for $85 on the Roku .com website.
Is that where you purchased it?
I did not. I didn't purchase it. They sent it to me and said, you know, here's a Roku if you need it. And it turns out I don't need it. Because I have a Roku TV. That's the thing. They're making Roku TV now.
So
TVs now. So I don't know why you need this.
Shh, you're not making it sound good for them.
Maybe. I don't know. So $85 is Dan's guess. Greg, what do you think this would go for?
Two buffalo pelts and a pile of glass.
Was that like, is that a useful thing for the Indian?
I'm used to
Indians
trading
or?
A lot on the road, so I don't really.
Do your gigs pay you in wampum?
A lot of people don't use cash anymore. I just don't use anything but the barter system. Oh, I would say half a peck of cucumbers.
Okay.
And a bag of figs.
Okay. And Natalie, what do you think? How much do you think this thing goes for?
Say 120.
$120.
And no items? And no bag of figs?
Can I change mine?
Somewhere in the middle.
Yes.
Can I add a little bit of an item?
You can, but I don't. This item thing, I don't know how it's going to play into it because it's dollars and cents is what I know to be the answer.
Oh.
So that's what I'm looking for.
All right.
This is like if you went on Price is Right and said blankets, and then they would have you escorted from the building, and they would pick another
I
contestant.
It'd be cool to add a little bit of an item with it, but okay.
Go ahead. What item?
No.
All right. What do you, you sure? Greg, what's your changed answer? What do you want to change it to?
50 million Turkish lira.
Okay. I said no going over, right? Or is Turkish lira, like, is it like yen or something? Where it's like, is it?
No, they're like Turkish lira, Doug. Yeah. No, they don't have a lot of value. You have to use a lot of lira to get a Turkish delight in Istanbul. But in Ankara, I think you could bargain them down.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to have to just make a judgment call on this because I'm not that familiar with lira and you know how many it would cost for this particular item. So,
oh, can I just change it one more time? It's a Turkish ultra lira.
Important that you got that in. it retails, according to the one site I went to, for $99.99. Oh. Dan Lamort, you won the first game you've ever played on Doug Loves Movies. You dominated it.
There we go. We're going to get you that
Took
Roku.
Took it down. You care? Brian is so excited.
Yeah.
You're going to watch Blockbusters on that, and you're not even going to need your Blockbuster card anymore. You're not going to need the commute to Bend to rent movies. You can just chill right here in Los Angeles.
We didn't have a Blockbuster in my town. We had a guy named Mark who had a movie store. You know what? It's weird. He still follows me on Facebook, and he'll leave messages like, I used to love seeing you walk around the store. And he was, yeah, now that I said it out loud, it's pretty
bad.
Well, I guess it's good he went out of business.
Oh, that's too bad. I mean, it's hard to keep a business going because he had such a weird name. It was called Mark of the Covenant. And just like people didn't get it. They didn't know it was a movie reference. They were just like, this place sounds like a cult.
True story. He does really still hang around there.
I believe you.
He says he's going to open the store again one day. I don't believe him. I don't think the market's coming back.
To do what? Yeah, what's he going to do with it? Like,
I'm going to tell the state not to let him, probably.
But people are getting frustrated that they don't have physical copies of things anymore because these fucking rich corporations keep pulling, content from their things and then making them available nowhere. They're just like burying things. It's very strange.
Stock up on your DVDs now for the next.
I mean, for a second it felt like, oh, you don't need DVDs at all anymore because just all movies are just out there somewhere, even if you just have to pay a couple bucks to see it or whatever. But it's maybe letting
multinational corporations take control of all of our mainstream entertainment wasn't as great an idea as it sounded like at the beginning. Knowing with their love of art and their disdain for commerce, and that they would immediately go into the business of archiving everything and making it free for future generations to enjoy, and therefore promoting cinema. However, you may have noticed that Disney in the last few years has really come up with this great idea where they've redone every movie they've done in the last 20 years over again, because evidently there's no more writers in Hollywood. They're all dead.
Well, they have to write that. They have to write these remakes.
Right. Oh, well, fair enough.
That's got to be very rewarding.
That's why I'm not in a multinational corporation, and you could be, because I wouldn't have thought, oh, we have to get someone to come in and write it worse than it was. And have Timothée Chalamet play Willy Wonka and shit upon my dreams and destroy what a young boy once loved by making it facile, vapid, and even more shallow than it could have possibly been comprehended by any human.
Where are you at with the Paddington films?
I like the Paddington film
because Bear?
Yeah.
I thought it was a gripping exploration of people from Peru's troubles in England.
I love Paddington Bear.
Me too.
I love the sculpture. I love the little bear.
You haven't seen the movies though?
No. There's
two feature-length movies waiting for you and a third one on the way.
What kind of antics does the bear get into?
He got lost, and he's got a tag on him.
He causes a lot of problems that he doesn't mean to cause.
Is it like a clean Ted?
He doesn't mean to do it. He's a troublemaker, but he doesn't do it on purpose, and he has a cute little British accent.
True or false? He's adorable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
That was an easy answer. Yeah. I didn't need to phone Brian.
He's really cute. But anyway, this new Wonka is the same creative, same director as those Paddington films, so it's got a similar color palette. But I haven't seen it yet. But you didn't see the Wonka, Craig.
No, I was gonna go see the Willy Wonka movie, and then I remembered I was busy that day. I had to pull my eyes out and feed them to a passing dog.
I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. I knew you were gonna do something terrible instead of seeing Willy Wonka.
I didn't see the Johnny Depp one either because I remember. I did, however, watch the Gene Wilder one over again on a plane about 2 weeks ago. Yeah, exactly.
The Depp one is creepy. The Oompa Loompa is the same.
It's the same guy over and over again. It's
throws
a dumb
me
effect.
Off.
It's dumb, yeah.
It's not right.
Not cool. Not cool. But I don't know about this Wonka movie. It sounds like it doesn't have a lot of Oompas or Loompas. But anyway, I haven't seen it.
I don't think anyone, I don't think you take on a Gene Wilder role. And like, let's push that a little.
Well, you know, Jeremy Allen White could do it.
Well, but he looks like him, yes.
That's what I'm saying. Every time there's a close-up of him now, I just can't unsee Gene Wilder, especially Gene Wilder at the end of Willy Wonka when he's all upset and he's about to say, I said good day, sir. Like, that scene, like, if you put that next to a current picture of Jeremy Allen White, they just it's amazing how similar they look. But we got to play some games, and we got one more coming up here that Dan gets to play. He gets to go first, and we switch the order around, so it's gonna go Dan, and then where'd it go last time? Oh, it'll go Dan, Natalie, Greg. All right, here we go. And the game is called, this is because you're here, Greg, I have to play this. It's a game we play on the show a lot. It's called Whose Tagline Is It Anyway? Woo! All right, here's how it works. Dan gets to go first. Dan, I will tell you the tagline from a motion picture, and then I will say three movies that it could be the tagline of, and you have to guess which one you think it is.
All right.
Yeah, and then if you miss it, then Natalie gets a chance with the two remaining choices. If she misses, Greg would get the first gimme point because he would know that the answer is the one remaining of the three. And then every time someone gets one right, we start with the next person on the next one, and first person at 3 points wins. Ready, Dan?
Yes.
Here we go. The tagline is, this is the way it was. This is the way it was.
Larry the Cable Guy, Health Inspector.
No, I give you choices.
Oh, okay.
After your hilarious answer, then I give three choices. It's like Hollywood Squares. They always have a joke answer ready to go, and then the real answer. Between these three films, Dan, 1 million years B.C., 10,000 B.C., or year one?
Shit. I'm going to go year one.
This is the way it was. Year one is your answer. That is incorrect.
Got it. Sorry, Brian.
Please don't apologize every time that happens. Might not happen again, though. You never know. You might be right every time after this. Natalie, the remaining options are 1 million years BC or 10,000 BC. This is the way it was.
I'm going to go with 10,000 BC.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. Greg, is it 1 million years BC?
Wow. I didn't see the 1 million BC, but I saw beneath 1 million BC, the ultra years, clan of the cave bears. Yes, I will say it's one. Is that the one with Raquel Welch?
I believe it is.
Oh, that's a good movie.
Yeah.
They speak cave English. Have you ever noticed in all the cave movies? Like, it's basically English, but they just kind of jazz it up. They'll go like, gob, start, rah. What? Yeah.
I get it. 1966 with Raquel Welch. And
oh, my God, the pampooties.
And then
she has little fur pampooties.
Oh yeah,
and a fur bikini.
Yeah, bikini. Yeah,
it's that, pretty.
Now you hit
movie.
A word. You hit on a word. I know.
Bikini.
Yeah.
It's very. I didn't know that other word that he was saying with bikini.
Yeah, it's one of the most famous. Next to, I think, Ursula Andress. Or Halle Berry's. It's one of the most famous bikinis.
The two, yeah, the two Bond ladies in their bathing suits, and then the fur bikini that Raquel Welch.
Good movie.
Sported.
There's a dinosaur and two tribes. It's complex, man.
I mean, it was the
By the way, dinosaurs live amongst people in that movie, which is pretty awesome.
I mean, it was the way it was, Greg.
That's why the tagline's so
apt. That's right
apt.
There. The tagline really nailed it.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So Greg is on the board. Greg's got 1 point. Back to you, Dan. What movie do you think has the tagline, "The Ultimate Trip"? The Ultimate Trip. Is it 2001, A Space Odyssey, 2010, The Year We Made Contact, or Spaceballs?
2001, A Space Odyssey.
That is correct. Yeah. Dan is on the board.
Yeah.
Dan is killing it. Don't have to apologize to anybody, Dan.
Nope.
All right. 1 point for Dan, 1 point for Greg. Natalie, you're up first on this next one.
All right.
The great.
She means business, man.
Yeah, she put her beverage down, her water bottle down. She's ready to go. The great holiday show that sets the screen aglow is the tagline. Which motion picture? It's a musical. Which one do you think it is? White Christmas, Singing in the Rain, or 1776? The great holiday show that sets the screen aglow.
Can I hear the options again?
Yes. White Christmas, Singing in the Rain, or 1776.
Well, here's the thing. I don't feel like it's 1776. I feel like Singing in the Rain's a musical, but it's not Christmassy.
Yeah, I agree with that, I guess.
So I guess I'd have to go with White Christmas.
Okay, that's incorrect.
Wait
a minute. Wait a second. How did that happen? Greg?
So we've eliminated White Christmas.
Mm-hmm. As we should from all of our lives.
The great holiday show that sets the what aglow?
The screen.
As the screen.
The silver screen, yes. Yeah,
certainly. I'm going to say Singing in the Rain, just to be contrary.
Okay, you might as well. There's no reason to win. That is incorrect. Dan Lamore, what do you think it is?
The last one left.
You remember the number? The year our country was born?
Oh, 1776.
That's right. Dan is correct. And he's got 2 points now.
The year the white people country was born. Okay? There was another country before that.
Yeah, I guess the holiday they're referring to is the 4th of July.
Yeah.
Boo.
So stupid.
Boo.
That was a trick question.
It's like Hamilton without any coolness.
Hang on tight. There's going to be trick questions. If we did straightforward questions. Okay. Dan's on the board again. He's got 2. Greg's got 1. But we're back to you, Natalie.
Wow.
This is yours. This point is yours for the taking.
I don't know.
The tagline is, "Welcome to the Reckoning." Is this the tagline for The Reckoning from 2003, The Reckoning from 2020, or The Dark Knight Rises?
Can I hear the tagline again?
Welcome to The Reckoning.
And can I hear the options again?
The Reckoning from 2003, The Reckoning from 2020, or The Dark Knight Rises.
And can I hear the tagline again?
Welcome to The Reckoning.
Use it in a sentence.
Welcome to The Reckoning, bitch.
I'm going to say, and it's either...
Reckoning, or Dark Knight Rises.
And what are the first two options again?
Oh, my God.
Hey, watch it. I'm going to go with The Reckoning.
2003 or 2020?
You know what, Doug? What do you think it is?
If I had to guess.
Listen.
Pick one.
I'm going to definitely go for the earlier film.
2003. Incorrect.
Nope, that's not what I said. I said...
All right. Greg.
Mr. Holland's opus.
I'll be happy to talk about that some other time, but for now, you need to say The Reckoning or The Dark Knight Rises.
I'm going to go Dark Knight Rises.
That is correct. Oh. Yes, that's a line.
Welcome
that,
to The Reckoning.
Yes,
we
exactly what he
games.
Sounds like in that movie. Yeah. Yes, Bane was played by Axl Rose.
I hate to admit this, but I'm a little bit of a movie buff.
Why are you admitting it?
You know, I actually almost didn't get into acting school when I was younger because I told them I didn't like movies.
Wow, why would they? That's so they funny. Like, mom, actors cannot like movies.
They told my mom, like, we don't want to accept her because she told us that she doesn't like movies. And I was like, yeah, I like Broadway.
Okay, that's acting.
But they were like, no, you need to like movies.
Oh, that seems, they don't seem to understand how it works. Those people, they guided you in the wrong direction. I'm glad you found the stage one way or the other by becoming a comedian. Whose turn is it?
Dan.
No.
I feel like I've gone first in all of these games.
Greg just got that one, so it is. You're right, it is Dan's turn.
By the way, how many points are we playing for, Doug? Because we
first
seem
person
to have done...
to three, like I said at the beginning.
Well, we're close.
Oh, you said three at the beginning. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. This
but it's always good to remind everybody, we're playing to 3 points.
Okay.
And but all this talking that has nothing to do with the game is throwing me off. So whose turn is it, do you really think? Is it Dan's?
Yes.
Because Greg got the last one right? Okay. Because we were going, what order were we going in? Natalie, then Dan, then Greg? Dan, Natalie, Greg. So well, we're back to Dan, then Dan. Natalie. All right. Dan, yeah. This is for the win, if you can get this one.
I'll take another
If you
turn.
Can get it, it's for the win. Here
you
we go.
This.
Here we go. Fight, dream, hope, love. Is that the tagline for The Princess Diaries? The Princess Diaries 2, Royal Engagement, or Les Miserables?
You know, I think it has Royal Engagement vibes. It seems like a second movie kind of feel.
Is that your answer?
That is my answer.
Incorrect.
Ah.
Natalie.
What are the options?
Greg. No, I want to get Natalie on the board. Princess Diaries or Les Mis?
It's definitely not Princess Diaries.
No, so you're saying Les Mis?
Les Mis,
can you just
yes.
say the words Les Mis?
Les Mis.
Les Mis is correct!
You know why I knew that one too, right, Doug?
Yeah.
Because you love the stage.
Thank you.
You don't know nothing about this movie version of it.
No, I don't know the movie version.
You didn't see all the...
I know it because of On My Own.
All the hope and the love and the dreaming and the fighting. It was all
yes.
in there. But it was also true of the Princess Diary movies. So good job.
Ugh. Only good thing about Princess Diaries is the makeover scene.
Okay.
All
right. You like a good montage. I get it.
Yeah.
All right.
I like a glasses break.
Mm. Greg, this is for the win.
Okay.
Because you got 2 points, buddy. The tagline is, it's hotter than hell. Is that the tagline for Volcano, Dante's Peak, or Krakatoa east of Java?
What was the second one?
Dante's Peak.
Oh, Dante's
with
Peak.
With the great Pierce
It's hotter than
Brosnan.
Hell is the tagline.
Exclamation point.
That was the a tagline for a movie
hell.
I saw in San Francisco in the 80s called All Hands on Dick. It was this nautical-themed movie, a lot of guys in it, and the tagline was hotter than hell. Oh, so these three.
It's hotter than hell.
It's not Krakatoa Volcano. East of Java. Yeah, I happen to know that one. So I'm going to say it's Dante's Peak.
Incorrect.
Correct.
Correctly incorrect. Dan?
I'll go with the East of Java.
Incorrect, Natalie.
Told you it wasn't Easter Java.
He tried to tell you. I wish people on Jeopardy would tell the other contestants what
and by the
answer
way,
is not.
Krakatoa is west of Java.
Yeah, that's true.
For real.
That's true. It's written here on this piece of paper. It's the kind of thing I would say as the host. And I'm glad that one of the guests knows as much as I do about Krakatoa east of Java. I wrote down, it's actually west unless they mean coffee.
Yeah, yeah. And when it blew up, the sunsets were bright red around the world for about 2 years. You talk about climate change. It blew so much material into the air that places were blocked out, crops failed, the whole enchilada.
Wait, Krakatoa was a volcano?
Yeah, that's the idea here. It's three films.
You notice
the three volcano movies.
The other two movies had a volcano theme.
Yeah. Context.
I didn't know what Dante's was. Yeah.
So Natalie's going to say the word volcano.
Volcano.
That's correct.
Whoa.
Wait, did she just get 3 points with that one? I don't think so. There's one more. Everybody's got two. This is so exciting.
This
has ended way more exciting than I thought it would. We've got a three-way tie. And
that was a good movie,
Greg,
by the way.
Gets to go first. Which okay. one?
Three-way tie.
We have to cut the Roku in three.
All right, here we go.
The tagline was, it's hotter than hell.
All right. Greg, this is all on you. If you get this, you win the game.
All right.
Heaven and Earth are about to collide. Is that the tagline for When Worlds Collide, Deep Impact, or Armageddon?
Armageddon.
Incorrect. Dan, this is for the win.
Yes.
50-50 shot. You can do this.
It was not Armageddon, so the remaining two are...
Wait, which one did you say, Greg?
I can't remember now. I said Armageddon, which it wasn't. The other two are Deep Impact and some other movie where
When Worlds Collide.
I'm gonna
which
go
one,
Deep
Dan?
Impact.
You threw me off, Dan, with your logic there, but that is correct. It is Deep Impact. Heaven and Earth Collide. What the fuck? Now I'm starting to think it's When World. It really feels like it should be When Worlds Collides, right? But anyway, congratulations, Dan. You won that game. And you know what that means? You get to go first in our final game that we're going to play right after this break. We'll be right back!
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We're back! Yay. Thank you, everybody, for being here on a Tuesday night at the lab, at the improv, coming to see what's on the slab. And now we're going to play a game to determine our winner today. Dan won that last game, so he gets to go first in Super Last Person Standing. Yeah. All right. So, Dan, go to your... person that you're playing on behalf of, who is Blockbuster Brian.
Yes, sir.
And Brian, you understand the assignment. In this game, you need to name an actress that will take turns naming their films. Who would you like to pick tonight? Have you looked over Dan and listened to his what his likes and dislikes
there is
are?
Slim pickings.
Like, to think of an actress you think Dan might be good at. Okay, just pick one then. I don't mean to put that extra pressure on you. Just name an actress you like or something.
Emma Stone.
Emma Stone is a great example. She just won one of those awards. She won a Golden Globe for... Oh, I was going to say what for. Don't
Damn
say it.
It
yet. Keep it quiet. All right. Who's next? We've got
Yvonne is Greg's person.
Doris Day.
Doris Day. I love where this is going. This is really, this is a really good way. Thank you, Yvonne, because it's a way to make the game go by quicker. to bring Doris Day into it.
Absolutely.
Holy shit. I might have to like go to an outside judge or something, dude, because I don't even know if I know. I know a few Doris Day movies, but that is that's some old school stuff right there. And then finally, Korea.
Terry Polo.
Welp.
Wow, Terry Polo. Thank you very much, because the show's running a little long. You know, we got it. We got plugs to do at the end and whatnot, so there's no reason to drag it out for too long. So Terry Polo, love her shirts, but she's also an actress and a fantastic, fantastic suggestion. And this is going to be great. All right, so it's the films of the great... I mean, all of these ladies are on their way to an EGOT, but I guess Doris didn't make it. She's no longer with us. Emma Stone, Doris Day, or Terry Polo will go Dan, Greg, Natalie. Wait, Dan, Greg, me, Natalie, and back to Dan again. Let's go around like that. Dan, what do you got? A film that features anyone of those three women.
Oh, Emma Stone was in Superbad.
Yes, she was. Yeah. Super fun movie.
Yeah.
Early on in her career, she did that. Greg?
Who was in Superbad?
Emma Stone.
Oh, La La Land.
Yes, of course, La La Land. I just feel like a responsibility to get some Terry Polo action going, because I don't even know. You know who Terry Polo is?
Not a clue.
Okay, so this is going to be great. This is really going to help you out. Meet the parents. Okay, Natalie, it's your turn.
I am going to call a friend.
You're going to your lifeline? Terry Polo from Meet the Parents and Doris Day from lots of movies, but before most of our times.
Yeah, I'm going to use
it. And then... Mm-hmm. Emma Stone? You got no Emma Stone?
Honestly, I'm just, you know, I'm not a movie gal.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to your lifeline.
Yeah.
Yeah, where's, who was it again?
Korea.
It's Korea? What am I supposed to say? You're supposed to say a movie that's got Emma Stone or Doris Day or your choice.
Domestic Disturbance.
Terry Polo's in that? Terry Polo and Domestic Disturbance.
That's exactly the movie I was thinking of.
All right. So, Natalie, you're still in for another round.
Thank you.
And we'll go to Dan.
Can it be another Emma Stone movie?
That's the idea, okay, is we're great. Naming Emma Stone or
Crazy,
Doris Day or Terry Polo
Emma
has Emma Stone in it. That's
yes.
Right. Congratulations, Greg.
So I can do any of the three actresses?
See, he's joking right now.
I can do Doris Day. Then.
What?
I can pick Doris Day.
Yeah, yeah. All three actresses.
Okay,
all the time.
Man,
the whole game.
The man who knew too much with Doris Day.
Yeah, there you go. See, I knew you'd know some Doris Days. All right, so I'm going to say Meet the Fockers.
Really good one.
Yeah. So Natalie's out, I guess.
You know what?
Uh-oh. Did you think of something?
I love movies. And thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. Natalie Cuomo, everybody. Dan's going to his lifeline. Brian, yeah. Blockbuster Brian, what do you got?
How about Poor Things?
Poor Things, yes. I almost said it out loud earlier because that's what she just won the Oscar for, Poor Things.
All right. Thanks, Brian.
She didn't win the Oscar. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. She won the, whatever that was the other night, Critics' Choice. Greg.
That Touch of Mink.
Yeah, see, he's going to kill it with these fucking... Greg knows his pillow talk.
Hey.
That's my answer. Back to you, Dan.
Oh, I had a good time. Thank you so much.
Dan Lamorne, everybody. It's just you and me, Greg.
Calamity Jane.
She's in that? Doris Day? Sounds right. That sounds legit. I mean, like I said, you could really pull it over my wool over my eyes when it comes to Doris Day films, because I don't know all of them. But I'm going to guess one. Or know what? I'm going to say Little Fockers, because holy shit. Little Fockers. Greg?
Right? Little Fockers.
Yeah.
And didn't you already have the other Fokker movie, right?
That's the idea, is I said all three of them.
Fuck the Fockers.
I was hoping to give somebody a chance.
Yeah.
Because Terry Polo's in all the fucking movies.
Right.
All those fucking movies.
Send Me No Flowers.
Oh, shit. Day. For reals?
Yeah.
Because here's one I was going to guess. I was going to say, Please Don't Eat the Daisies. Is she in that too? She's in both of those. Back to you, Greg.
Oh,
back to you out in the field. Over by your water.
Right. A Boy with a Horn. Kirk Douglas, Lorne Bacall.
I swear to God, I know you're right. I know it's true, but it's still cracking me up that I don't know. I think I've reached the end of my Doris Day movies, but guess what?
Right.
Guess what? Emma Stone is the favorite. She's in a movie called The Favorite. Greg?
There's the new one with her, the Born, Yes, Born.
Poor Things?
I'm so born. I just got born.
The Curse?
She just made a movie where she's like a robot from the 19th century or whatever.
Poor Things?
Now you've given me the answer.
Yeah, because we already said it.
Oh, you already said Poor Things.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I love that she's a robot from the 19th century. It's a fun description.
Well, isn't she?
No, it's more, she's a Frankenstein.
Oh.
Yeah, it's good.
Isn't that the same plot as Oppenheimer?
Basically. Basically, most movies have a Frankenstein.
Okay.
They're all full of monsters.
Lover, Come Back.
Okay. I assume that sounds like a Doris Day movie.
Yeah, that's a giddy.
Now, Greg's just going to say movies that sound like something Doris Day would be in. I'm here for it. I love it.
She was.
Aloha.
Okay, bye.
No. Emma Stone starred in Aloha.
Emma Stone's in a movie called Aloha?
Yeah.
What the fuck is that shit?
It takes place in Hawaii, and she's supposed to be like half Japanese or something.
Oh, no kidding.
Blockbuster Brian knows.
That's
he knows the pain.
All right. Yeah. Eternal Fockers.
Don't we all wish that the Fockers were eternal?
I don't know what
eternal,
the third one's called.
Ultra Fockers.
Valley of the Ultra Fockers.
No, we did all three of the Fockers. It's Meet the Parents, Meet the Fockers, Little Fockers.
Oh, so we already did them all.
Yeah, well, I did them all.
I don't have any more.
You're out of Doris Day?
I might have another Doris Day.
Yeah, think about it for a second. This is a fun education for people that don't know Doris Day movies. You've named like eight of them, I think.
Doris Day was fabulous. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of the.
Oh, I thought it was.
There's a Jimmy Cagney one, and she's a blues singer, and I can't think of the goddamn name of it.
Oh, that's a shame.
I know, right? No, all right.
You win anyway.
Yeah.
You what?
You're the winner anyway.
Oh, okay.
I can't win.
Me.
I'm just playing for fun. I can't win. You did it, right, Poops? You did it. Yeah. Good old...
In Man I Knew Too Much, she sings Que Sera Sera. And then in Calamity Jane, she sings Once I Had a Secret Love.
Yeah, she was back in the day when if Doris Day was in a movie, she'd have like one song. Like
yeah,
it wasn't
yeah.
a musical necessarily, but she'd have a song.
Yeah.
They'd let her sing something at some point. But Yvonne, congratulations.
Yeah.
You won this sucker. If you don't mind approaching the stage, I'll hand it off to you. Oh,
kittens.
And then, that was close. But see me after the show, and we'll get you on the list for the next Benson movie interruption over at Dynasty Typewriter. And since you're our winner today, Greg, you get to do your plugs first. What would you like to promote?
I'm at the Sophia in Sacramento, a cute little theater there. On the 10th of February, I'm at Flappers. On the 8th of February, in Burbank, doing a set. I'm The Smartest Man in the World podcast is at gregproofs.com. We're doing the Greg Proops Film Club over at the Los Feliz 3 on February 7th. Jennifer hasn't picked a movie yet. Last month we showed Crossing to Delancey for Christmas, and we showed The Innocents for Halloween. You know that one? With Deborah Kerr.
Oh.
The Innocents, where the kids are possessed by the people who ran the house.
Yeah.
That's a fucking good one. And I have a new album out called French Drug Deal. And you can get that on gregproofs.com as well. Thank you. Oh, and Whose Line's still on. We're in our 254th great season. We started when television was powered by steam. We actually have a new season. I'm not kidding. And I'm on the 23rd, I think.
Oh, okay.
We shot the show. Yep.
Just turn on the CW and just leave it on.
Yeah. It's on the CW. CW. That might be why no one's known that we've been on for the last 10 years. Because we have been on for 10 years.
It is the, it's the Witness Protection Network.
Yeah, yeah.
But also it's like, the kids love it, the teens. It's a teen network.
Oh, do they fuck? Are you kidding?
Yeah, so you're probably getting a lot of
one thing kids love is television. They're devoted to it. Must see
it's
teen
true.
TV.
True. But thank you, Greg. Always,
thank you, Doug.
Always a pleasure.
I know. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you.
And Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year, you son of a... Dan Lamort, everybody. Dan Lamort. What do you want to promote, buddy?
Oh, me and Natalie will be in...
Don't do her plugs.
Well, all our tour dates are the same.
Okay,
New
do them
York,
all then.
New Westminster, British Columbia, Seattle, Boston, Phoenix, Dallas... Boston. I don't know if I said Boston.
Do it twice.
Yeah. What else did I miss?
It's worth it.
Oh, right, can I plug one last thing? Because he said Boston.
Sure.
I don't know if that's the rationale. We're also on tour with Whose Line. We're on the road, and we're in. You said British Columbia. We're in Vancouver tomorrow. Today after tomorrow.
Yeah, you're doing a ton of cities.
Nice,
you got so
there.
Many cities coming.
Oh, we do like 100 dates a year. It's me and Ryan, the tall one, and Jeff Davis, the other tall one, and Joel Murray, Bill Murray's brother. So we.
Yeah, it's super fun.
We're on the road for, we've done it for, Doug came and saw us.
I saw you in
Washington, D.C.
That's
right.
Yeah. Okay, so Natalie, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, you can.
Natalie Cuomo, everybody.
Thank you. I have my own podcast you can check out. It's called Help with Natalie Cuomo, where I ask people for advice. And Dan and I will be on the road. We're going to be in the Bay Area this weekend. And then, we've got Seattle, a bunch of Canadian dates coming up. And
what's the website to get tickets?
The website, you can find them at nataliecuomo.com, or you can go to Dan's website that I don't have memorized. And you can find them both.
It's probably
there.
Ultra Dan Lamort.
Yes.
You know, when you were watching Barbie, you could have taken time to memorize his website and then.
I could have, but I really could have. Yeah.
I don't want to guilt you. I don't know the website either, so.
What's the name of your website?
You know, it's...
DanLamort.com?
Yeah, it's about to be your last name, so shouldn't be...
Oh, shit.
It shouldn't be that hard to remember.
And we're getting married in July.
Yay!
Isn't that cute? Congratulations.
So.
Awesome.
First marriage?
Yes.
Yeah. Good for you.
Number one.
Here's something I'm going to be doing. Oh, I'm going to be coming right back here to the Improv Lab on February 20th for at least a few months. We're doing the third Tuesday of each month here at the lab. So thank you very much to the Improv and to all of you for coming out tonight. One more time for all of my guests, Greg Proops, Dan Lamort, Natalie Cuomo. And I always close, with the last line of a motion picture, but I forgot to look one up today. So I thought I'll just to say what I assume is the last line of a specific motion picture. And hopefully that'll... I doubt if it's actually the last line, but I think it should be. It's the last line of Spaceballs. As always, may the Schwartz be with you!
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. his viewing prowess makes him cocky.